This is Office Hours with SIU System President Dan Mahoney, a monthly podcast that explores what's happening in and around American higher education. And now your host, SIU System President Dan Mahoney.
Thank you for tuning into Office Hours. I'm your host, SIU System President Dan Mahoney. In this episode, we explore some of the more meaningful learning experiences in college that happen outside the classroom. Research from the National Association of Colleges and Employers show that employers are looking for graduates who can solve problems, work as a team, communicate, take initiative, and demonstrate leadership skills. And many of these skills can be developed and strengthened outside the classroom. And one of the things we certainly know is while obviously a degree is critically important and the main reason why students are here, there's really an opportunity for much more out of a college experience. And this is something I know personally quite well. I had the great privilege of serving both as vice president and president of the Student Government Association when I was an undergrad. I was involved in fraternity leadership roles. I actually helped create a new honor society on campus. So I did a lot of these types of activities, and I learned a lot from that. And much of that has impacted me up until this day. In fact, sometimes people will ask me, hey, where'd you learn that from? Well, I actually learned that from a colleague or someone I worked with in student government many, many years ago. So I'm really excited about this particular topic. And today we're going to talk to some of the leaders of our student affairs division to start with at SIU Edwardsville and SIU Carbondale. And so first I'd like to welcome Miriam Raccia, who serves as vice chancellor of student affairs at SIUE, and Jeffrey Bergen, who serves in the same position at SIUC. Now, first I want to start with you, Miriam. I find most student affairs leaders were active as students themselves. Is this the case for you? And how did you get involved with student affairs leadership?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I fell into it. I fell into involvement, fell into leadership. My first year I lived in a residence hall, was able to make a meaningful connection with a hall director. The summer between my first and second year, I got a call maybe a week before school was supposed to start that said, hey, you didn't really apply for this, but I've got this opening and you seem like you have good leadership skills. Could you come lead a floor as a peer mentor academic consultant with your peers? And so from there, my leadership kind of fell into two buckets and my involvement fell into two buckets. The first was through residence life. I was able to progress as an RA, resident assistant, but I also was active in like our area council and our residence hall and things like that early on. The second was through my service sorority. And I share regularly, one of my proudest kind of undergraduate moments was being nominated by my peers as like our senior leader of the year, though I had never held a formal leadership position in the sorority, which is unique. I think most folks think it is a standardized progression to presidency that gets you recognition or helps you develop those skills. It meant a lot to me that my peers saw kind of that leadership without title in that space where I did have other opportunities in my residence life career. And then upon graduation or getting close to graduation, that same hall director knew I wanted to go to grad school and said, you're actually really good at this and good at working with students. You should look at being a grad assistant or being a hall director. And so as I pursued my master's in public administration, I also had that opportunity to work in residence life. And then my trajectory from there was to where I am today.
Well, I have to ask, what was the service sorority you were a member of?
So it's a local. It's Alpha Sigma Gamma. I actually just got back from Kirksville, Missouri a few months ago. We're at our like 30th reunion. I'm now aging myself in this conversation, but it was great to reflect with, my sisters and really think through what we learned and talk to our new leaders who are currently serving about their experience.
Yeah, it's funny. My daughter did that as well. And actually, it was one of her great experiences as an undergraduate was the service sorority. Yep. And she really loved that experience. So, Jeffrey, could you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Well, it was a natural progression. I've been involved in high school through athletics, through Teen Institute, which was a Just Say No club in our high school, and so progressed on to College at the University of Cincinnati, in which, I became a tour guide on campus, joined the Racial Awareness Pilot Project to talk about racial diversity on campus, and then from there, applied to become a resident assistant, was selected for that, and then that really began to propel me. I was also on the track team for a year at the University of Cincinnati. That fell apart very quickly. And so I've had to find something that was going to keep me occupied outside of the classroom. And so joined a couple of service clubs, joined my fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha, the Black Program Board, and student government. I was student government association president, along with a couple of other honorary societies. And so it just felt right and natural for me to be involved and to be engaged. And now I have lifelong friends, and I really had great advisors, Dr. Michael Enderle, Dr. Pierrick Abercrombie, seeing them and knowing all of the work that they put in, and really pushing me to get engaged and have opportunities off campus as well through service opportunities with Habitat for Humanity. I remember asking them very candidly, how is it that I can do what you do? You seem to have so much fun and joy in your work. And so from there, because of my involvement and my interactions with them, I actually went on to Ohio University to major in college student personnel, which then, while I was in graduate school, afforded me an opportunity to be in school as well as an employee, because they were looking for an assistant director of multicultural programs. From there, here we are, vice chancellor for student affairs at Southern Illinois University and, you know, Carbondale. And so the experiences that I had in undergraduate and fraternity, student government, service, more importantly, has really propelled me to really do the work and enjoy the work that I do in student affairs today.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I found, certainly from my own experience, too. It's, and you both mentioned this, is the mentors among the staff people who were there. Julie Sina was my SGA advisor, and to this day, I'm incredibly grateful. I learned so much from her about being in that role and how to handle that in a public way. So what value do you see in leadership opportunities for students and student organizations that may be different and or add to other experiences? And Jeffrey, I'll start with you.
You know, I think that it is important that you allow for yourself to be vulnerable and to try new things. You just can't stay in one niche. And so it's important that you go out in the community or the environment that you're in and seek service opportunities. In the organization, don't just be a member. Try to hold a position so that you learn more about the organization. And I think that as students begin to do that, it allows them to grow in who they are individually. It helps them to grow other individuals within the organizations or that they may interact with. And ultimately, it will lead into, and they don't have to go into higher education and student affairs, but the things that they learn in these opportunities and experiences then translate and transfer into the workforce or whatever field of endeavor that they are a part of once they get into their career. And so I think that that engagement, that involvement, that level of care and being servant leaders really is something that's just very important as you move forward in life. And so I found that, many of us have found that. And so I think that those are the key things, service and really just trying to hone in on your skills.
Yeah, Mary?
I've been in this field for a long time, and one of, I would say, my pet peeves as a professional was how often we tell students that this involvement is going to make a difference in their career, but we never actually gave them the words, the tools, the reflection to think about what that really meant. And so in your introduction, you talked about the National Association of Colleges and Employers and the career readiness competencies, and that has been, I think, really important for the field and for the way that we help students think about that student organization leadership. When we get out into our careers, yes, we have supervisors, but day to day, it's our leadership with our peers, our teamwork work with our peers, our communication with our peers, our commitments to equity and inclusion. Those are all parts of those career readiness competencies. And so I think that's been really transformational for the work that we do with students in helping our student organization leaders, our student employees, kind of all of those types of leadership positions, for students to have the words when they prep that resume, when they sit in an interview with somebody, and what it means for our next guests to be able to talk about being a student trustee more than just a bullet on their resume, right? Mm-hmm. That they get to talk about the professionalism they learned from serving with administrative professionals, serving, you know, having the chance to meet governors, the way that they've refined both their written and oral communication, all of those things. I really, truly believe most folks who maybe aren't successful in their future careers, it's usually not because they're not great at the actual job. It's usually that they don't know how to be a good teammate and they don't know how to be a good leader. And I think that student leadership experience gives them sort of a safe accelerator, learning lab. I can screw it up here and learn from it so that when those consequences are more significant, they can reflect back and kind of pull back from that experience to shape the way they act in the future.
Yeah, that's a great point. I really like the thought of being able to verbalize what it is that I got from this experience. And again, I can talk endlessly about some of those things. But it's also very interesting, I think, at that young of an age to interact with some of the people, which for me was also governors, Tip O'Neill, who was Speaker of the House at the time. I mean, all of these types of things created experiences that very few people had. The other thing that both of you have talked about in different ways that goes kind of beyond simply leadership is the importance of service and thinking about service as a part of your life. And I think I got that from all of those experiences as well, which was valuable. Miriam, I'll start with you. What do you do to encourage students to get involved in activities outside the classroom, or more specifically to take on leadership roles? So how do you get them out there to do those types of things?
Yeah, you know, I think it starts really from day one, and it occurs both with students and their families. I have the opportunity to talk with families and students at orientation, and the first thing I say is find one thing. Could be a student group, could be research with a faculty member, could be showing up. But I really kind of want our students to start by showing up and acknowledging, you know, I'm an introvert and there's not a lot of introverts actually who do this work. We sort of have our caricature of who student affairs folks are. And I know that I don't always meet that. And so I take that opportunity with students to say, I know it might be really, really hard to walk into the room at convocation with 1500 of your peers, but I need you to take that step. I need you to challenge yourself because you're going to be in spaces in the future that you have to take that step. So I think starting with showing up, I then ask folks to think through how do you move to being part? How do you move to maybe planning the thing for somebody else? And then from there, that next progression for some becomes how do you lead? How do you lead your peers? How do you lead others? But that first step for me is really, it's so scary to get out of the car sometimes, let alone walk in the room. Take, you know, challenge yourself. It's okay. It will be okay on the other end.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think it's one of the things, again, I got from that experience and have continued to try to do is take myself out of my comfort zone and do things that maybe make me feel a little uncomfortable. But after a while, they become more comfortable and allow you to do more things in your life and career. Jeffrey, anything you want to add?
Well, and I agree with Miriam, you know, show up. And I think because of the opportunity that we have to speak to families at orientation and other opportunities to really tell them about all that we have to offer as institutions. And so, you know, Miriam, you mentioned being an introvert. Adam Weinberg talks about, President of Denison, he talks about being an extroverted introvert, which I am. I think it's situational. It's very difficult to be in environments that you're not used to. But if you take that risk, the reward can potentially be so much greater. And so when you're getting involved on a college campus, whatever organization or venture there may be, I talk to students about if you don't see it here and you would like to have it, we have the opportunity to create it in college. And so that's the fun part about what we do. And so the other important piece for me, and I'm very certain that Miriam does this, we show up for them. When they're putting on events, we show up or we are at service opportunities and we're leading by example to let them know that they have support and that we enjoy doing this as well and that it doesn't stop once you graduate from college.
I think it's a great point that showing of support. I know as a president, I've tried to do that over the years as well, just to show them, regardless of what they were trying to do or what type of an event they were planning, if you show up, it makes a big difference to them. So I'm going to finish with this, Jeff. One of the things that I know, certainly I can think of a lot of great stories about students who benefited from their experiences, but do you have one that's particularly memorable for you that you'd like to share with us?
Wow. You know, I was at Washington and Jefferson College. I was Associate Dean of Students. And somehow an alternative spring break opportunity fell through for an advisor, and a group of students needed someone to chaperone them from Washington, PA to Bonnell, Florida for a collegiate challenge to build houses for the spring break. And so I reluctantly took on this task. And so I drove 9 students, 13 hours from Washington, Pennsylvania to Bonnell, Florida. And it was a great experience. A lot of them had not been out of Pennsylvania. And so this was a first time venture for them. And I do remember it was a 50 Cent song about the birthday, and it kept coming on over and over and over again. But they were building camaraderie, and they allowed for me to be a part of their circle, so to speak. We build several houses. A lot of families that participate in the Habitat for Humanity were very thankful to those students. We got to see Vanilla Ice in concert. I'm dating myself. But these students, and I still talk to them, they always talk about that moment. And there was, even on the way back, there was a young woman who loved the Atlanta Braves. We drove through Atlanta, and the entire group said, "This is an opportunity you've never had." We stopped at, you know, Turner Field at that time, and allowed for this young person to tour the stadium, and her friends did that. And that's something she will remember, or we will remember, for the rest of our lives. And so just really being able to create an opportunity for students to serve, and for to let them know that really administrators are not bad people. We are actually there to support you, help you, and show you the way if you will allow it. And so that's something that's always been memorable, because I talk to this group of students all the time after they've, you know, graduated and they've started their own families. And, you know, I just so happened that I was the Pi Beta Phi advisor for several of those students who went on that trip. So it was worthwhile for them, but it was definitely life-changing for me.
It's a good story. Miriam, do you have anything you want to add?
So I think often about, again, relatively early in my career, I was at UW River Falls, right outside Minneapolis, St. Paul on the Wisconsin side. And I'm trying to think if it might have been like the 2000 election or the 2004 election. And again, my background, my undergrad was political science. So I always still have this passion for, you know, political engagement activity, all of those things. And so I had a chance to work with a group of students around voter registration. This particularly resonates with me because the purpose was to be nonpartisan, that our job was to engage students who we knew didn't register, we knew didn't vote, and let's, you know, come together as peers and encourage that. And there was one specific student who had worked for me as like a welcome weekend leader, and she also was very involved in College Republicans. And, you know, I had approached her and was like, "Hey, I think it'd be really great. Do you have some folks? Can we get this team together?" And she was very apprehensive, And I sat down with her and I was like, "Hey, help me understand, what are we concerned about getting students to vote for or registering to vote?" And she just shared that it was uncommon in her experience at that university that once she told people she was in College Republicans, that she felt that she was treated differently. And so, you know, we talked a long time about the nonpartisan nature of things and my overall support for her and for political activity and engagement. And I carry that conversation with that student and other peers who she was able to bring in to work with us through my work every day, that my job, our jobs here are to support a broad range of students who have a broad range of paths and who need different things from us, sort of regardless of what I believe or you believe or somebody else believes, that as Dr. Bergen said, it's our job to show up, not only physically be present, but also helping the students and being there and being with them in those moments where they may not quite feel that they trust us or trust the work that we're doing. And so, 20 some years later, we still are connected. And that's a really important, I think, moment for me, but also for her to have seen that her peers who also believe something different than she did could come together and work to register 2,000 students on that campus in a very short time for that election.
Yeah, no, it's a good story, and it is a good example, too, of where sometimes I think certain groups of students don't think we're going to support them, and we very much try to do that across the board. And first of all, I want to thank both of you for being here today, and thank you for sharing kind of your experiences as well as some of the things that you're trying to do in student affairs. Next, we welcome two of our outstanding student leaders on our SIUE and SIUC campuses, and they also serve as two of my bosses as student representatives on the SIU Board of Trustees. So Hannah Connolly and Mo Appizina, welcome to the podcast. First, Mo, I'll start with you. What led you to pursuing leadership roles in college, and is this something you did in high school as well, or is this more of a new experience?
So I did not really have, leadership roles in high school because I didn't really have any opportunities. It was more like for work and doing sports. Nothing really was, interesting to me in any leadership roles. But when I came to SIUE, I heard about student government. I heard about, a lot of students could be in all of those organizations. But I didn't really believe that students could actually make changes and could get stuff done. That changed when one of my friends, her name was Rahma. She was the student body president in 2022. She, talked to me about student government and explained that students actually can get stuff done and students can make an impact on this campus and make differences and actually get other students' voices heard. I read more about it. I tried to see if that actually, we could get stuff done, and I decided to get involved because I have always been someone who likes to speak up and help any other students or any other people that they feel their voices are not heard or they're not getting what they want out of their experience or out of their career or their academic life. Being in a leadership role gave me a chance to make a real impact and, helping a lot of other students and be there for all my other colleagues.
Hannah?
Yeah, so I was homeschooled from first grade to my senior year of high school, so there weren't any leadership opportunities I could take on during high school, like high school student government or anything like that. But I did have the opportunity to participate in Girls State during my senior year of high school. That's just a couple weeks in the summer put on by the state of Indiana where you get to basically participate in a mock government simulator. And so I was invited to do it, and I had a blast running for elections, sitting on committees, that sort of thing. And I decided when I got to SIU I would try student government. The difference between student government and Girls State was Girls State was virtual because of COVID. So I could kind of hide behind the camera, script myself a little bit. And obviously student government at Southern was in person. So as someone who's not super outgoing, it was a little daunting having to go to people and ask them for signatures so I could become a senator. But I decided I would give it a shot, see if I liked it. Ended up loving it. It's been such a rewarding experience. So I'm glad I decided to take that on.
Well, it's interesting that neither one of you did it before. I was one who actually was very involved in high school, so this was more of a continuation. But for you, it was more of a new experience for different reasons. So, Hannah, I'll start with you. Does this role complement your academic and career goals, and how do you see it complementing them?
Yeah, so my academic and career goals include hopefully going on to law school after I graduate in May, and then from there pursuing some kind of career in international law or international relations. Obviously, this position has allowed me to build a skill set that I think directly complements a legal education, learning how to represent other people, learning how to advocate for others, communication, public speaking, all those kinds of things will play into a legal education. But I also think it really doesn't matter what kind of major you have, what you want to do with the rest of your life. Student government helps you build a skill set that will directly impact not just your career, but also your personal life. I've learned so many different lessons in student government, like conflict resolution, how to work with other people. And I know that's something that I'll take with me into the rest of my life, even into relationships.
No.
So my career goals, I'm trying to go to medical school after I graduate from undergrad here and be a cardiologist. That's for the long run, hopefully. And I also own a business in Springfield. So, being a leader, like student leader, is not really connected to my career or my academic, but you know, it helps definitely for the long run. Being a student leader, you know, teaches you how to work with people, hear different opinions, and think about problems in a different way, and makes you think outside of the box. So, and that really helped me a lot, and will help me in just thinking of all the, you know, just world problems when, or personal problems when I'm, you know, facing a certain problem, just makes me think of differently than all the other people and get those results that actually gonna impact either my personal life or anyone else's personal life in a different way. No matter what career I choose or I'm gonna choose or anyone chooses, medicine, business, law, or anything else, you'll always need teamwork, leadership, and communication skills. And this role has gotten me all of those. When I have to communicate better with my student president or my student body president or my student vice president or any other staff in student government or SIUE, that just, you know, teaches me all those skills to better myself for the future.
Yeah, that's great examples, I think, of this. We talked about the skills you develop, which can be utilized in multiple ways. Although I think you may be surprised when you apply to medical school, they look for well-rounded students. So I think it actually will probably be beneficial to you in that application process.
Well, that's why I said it will help for the long run. Yeah. It will definitely, because they do look for students that they're not just good at grades and they just know their academic stuff. They want to know, they want to have students that they actually can treat other patients and deal with other colleagues or doctors or whatever in a better way of like communication, of solving problem skills and being a leader. So that's why, you know, for the long run, it's always good, because at one point of your life, there's a situation that you're going to face that's going to require one of you guys in that room or that place or that area to be a leader. And it's always good to step up and fix whatever problem is happening or whatever issues that you guys are pursuing.
Yeah, good point. And I will say, I think I was the only student government president during my time at Virginia Tech that was not pursuing law school. So that was a relatively common thing to get involved with student government if you were looking at law school. Hannah, I'll start with you. What have you found particularly challenging as a student leader, and how have you tried to handle those challenges?
I think the number one challenge that I've experienced so far in this position is the criticism, which sounds like a no-brainer because it is. And coming into it, I knew I was never going to cast a vote on the board that, you know, every single student 100% agreed with. But handling that criticism was definitely a challenge that I experienced. A lot of students would take to Yik Yak, which is that like anonymous platform where they can post things without having their name attached. And so it was a little upsetting when I would vote for something and then they would disagree and then bring me up and I didn't know who they were. So I could never address those issues with them. And I got a little defensive about it, which I quickly learned was like not the correct way to handle that. One way to handle it was to try to change it into a positive. So I started holding town halls where students could come talk to me. I presented to the Senate after every board meeting to allow senators to hold me accountable for my votes and ask questions for their constituents. And so I learned that having constructive discussions and conversations about the way that I voted was the best way to kind of combat that criticism. And believe it or not, us college students, we can be reasonable at times, right? If I vote a certain way on the board and I provide my justification and reasoning for it, a lot of times people will understand. They may not agree and they still won't agree, but if you can provide an explanation and kind of give your reasoning as to why you did something, a lot of times students will end up agreeing. So that's been something that I've found was a little bit of a stumbling block, but been working on.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great example, I think, of, and this is something I have learned in my role as well, is that the more transparent you can be about why you did what you did, the better off you are. And even if people still don't agree with you, at least they appreciate that you explained why you voted the way you did. I will say, too, the criticism, that was one of the things I talked about. Julie Sine, who was my SGA advisor. The school paper actually supported my opponent, and then my opponent ended up working for the school paper as a writing for them. So you can imagine during my year how well I was treated by the school paper, not particularly great. And I remember talking with her about, you know, the need to respond in some significant way. And she goes, let's play out how this is going to work. And I realized it's like, okay, no, I've got to kind of deal with this and keep doing the things the way that I thought I should do them. And that was a valuable lesson to me that, again, I took forward. So, Mo, what about you?
I mean, one of the biggest challenges I had first when I t- took a senator position, student government, was trying to help as many students as possible. You know, just not just one group, and trying to help all the as many students as I could, because they all have different needs, and it could be, and it can be kind of difficult sometimes and challenging to help as many people as I could. I always try to, you know, by fixing that and by always being on campus. I come on campus around 9 a.m. I go to my office. I'm always around. I stay on campus until late at night. I'm always around all the buildings. I try to be there for the students, and I try to be welcoming and as nice and as happy to all the students, to make sure that they don't feel that they cannot, come to me and talk with me and talk about their problems, if there's anything that they want to fix, anything they want to improve on campus, that they know that there's someone for them, and they should not be afraid of just, you know, talking with that person and helping themselves and other people to get those stuff done, whatever they're concerned about.
Yeah, no, that's another great example of trying to be available for everybody across. And that's even a little bit what we heard from the vice chancellors of, you know, being present for all groups. And that was one of the things I learned from the guy who was present before me, is when I was an undergrad, everybody ate at different cafeterias and was fairly mm-hmm. segregated in a lot of different ways. And we would go to all the different ones so that we were always visible and seen by everybody.
Yeah, because whenever I ran for a senator, well, before I joined student government, I was a freshman. And I didn't really see enough like representatives from mm-hmm. student government. So I was like, where are they? What do they mm-hmm. do? We were not really, like, the student body was not really informed enough about mm-hmm. all those stuff that student government gets done. So I was like, there's a lot of social media ways you can mm-hmm. reach those students. There's a lot of, you know, you don't really see, back then that was like five years ago, you don't really see those senators or like exec members or any student body, student government members mm-hmm. around. So it was just one of my main things to make sure that I do and my colleagues do, is we always be there, always being friendly, always be nice to anyone, always have that friendly face on our faces, and trying to reach to more students as much as we could.
Okay. Well, here, I've got another question for you, Mo. Who are some of the people who've had an impact on your experience as a student leader, and what have you learned from them?
So I'm gonna look at it as a bigger picture. A lot of people have helped me a lot from SIUE and outside of SIUE. Thankfully, I've had a lot of supporters in my life. I did have some enemies, but not a lot. But I'm going to start with my father. He always, anytime I would do anything, he would always, you know, support me and push me to it and make sure that I never give up, and always would make sure that I get what I aim for and I don't, like, give up on anything. At SIUE, staff in student government and the Kimmels mm-hmm. Belonging Hub, they've always been friendly, you know, they always be there for me. If I have any concerns, any questions, any kind of help in any way, personal or professionally, they will always be there for me, and they're always available. You know, like Linda, Liz, Miriam, not just because she's here, but she actually, anytime I want any help, she's always there for all the students. And I'm just saying on my mm-hmm. personal experience, they're always there for like all of us and helping us to get whatever needs to be done.
Hannah.
Yeah, I think the person who's made the biggest impact on me in student government has been Audrey Gulley. She's currently a 1L at Simmons Law School, but last year she served as our USG Executive Vice President, and the year before that she was our parliamentarian. She was a transfer student, so she didn't come to SIU till her junior year, but even though she missed out on those first 2 years of undergrad at SIU, she hit the ground running, and she's left a legacy of kindness and positivity that I know senators feel today. She was a tough cookie. She could make sure that the debates didn't get too feisty during our Senate meetings, but she was also so incredibly kind and supportive of her senators. I think the thing that really stood out to me the most about Audrey, though, was her ability to lead by example. She was never the loudest voice in the room, but her actions were always the loudest. And I think she showed not just me, but other senators how even if you're not the loudest person in the room, you still have something of value to bring to the table, and your voice still matters. And I knew from watching her that I wanted to emulate that kind of leadership through what I do on the board. And so I've done my best to try to empower students to keep up with what's happening at the board level, to keep asking questions. And I do my best to make sure that they have a seat at the table through my seat at the board. And so I know a lot of students and senators have Audrey Gulley as their model, right? Their role model. And she definitely is the standard that I try to hold myself to every day.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mentioned this a little bit at the beginning while I've talked about some of the student government support people and them who had an impact. It sometimes was my fellow students. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy who chaired my committee, John Eisenhart, sounds similar. And I learned so much from him about how to manage people and maximize everybody's talent, get everybody engaged. And that, again, has stayed with me till this day. And I've always been thankful for him and what I got from him. So final question, Hannah, anything else you'd think about your experiences that you think will help you after graduation?
I think just learning how to step out of my comfort zone. I kind of talked about this earlier, but I am not an outgoing person. I'm not good at public speaking. I don't like to set myself up for failure in front of other people. So if you met me at the beginning of my freshman year, you would not think me a very fit candidate for student government. But student government has proven to be an environment where I've been able to learn how to step out of my comfort zone and be okay with being uncomfortable. And I know that kind of experience is something I'm going to take with me and forward into law school, learning how to be uncomfortable there, learning how to be uncomfortable in the workplace. So I'm really grateful to have had such a rewarding experience and looking forward to this last semester, the little bit I have left.
Yeah, and I will say your experience is not unusual. I've seen so many students over there. There's one that always comes to my mind that we had her involved with the peer mentoring as a freshman. I thought, mm-hmm. this young woman is so shy. And 3 years later, she's leading the groups. Like, she was just an entirely different person. Mm-hmm. And because of all of the things and taking herself out of that comfort zone and doing those things. So, Mo, anything you want to add?
I'm on the opposite side of Hannah. I've always been the people's person. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to be reaching out people, always out there for just doing stuff, always being there. So, I believe those experiences are going to improve my prior skills and experiences, mm-hmm. Especially after I graduate. They have helped me build a lot of strong leadership, communication, and problem-solving skills. And, being those roles shows that I can, in the future, take any roles that require leadership or any communication skills and handling, dealing with different people with different perspectives and always understanding other people. And leadership has also taught me how to think quickly, stay patient, and put others before myself. Make sure that I'm there for the people, I'm there for everyone else, not just my own perspective. So I feel that will help a lot. And whatever job, whatever future I have or God has, hidden for me, it will always help me in a certain way, in a specific way that it is going to help me, definitely.
Yeah, well, I think you hit on one of the things I often talk about with when I see good leaders is they understand it's not about them. It's about the organization. It's about helping the group, whatever group that is. And you seem to both have picked that up very well. So I want to thank you both for being here. And we are excited to have you on the board. And it's been a great experience for the last couple of years doing that. And can't wait to see what happens next for both of you. As we wrap up this episode, I want to acknowledge our production team on the Office Hours podcast, SIU Edwardsville graduate student Solomon Amandi, and Jason Church at WSIE Radio on the SIUE campus for his guidance. And last but certainly not least, we want to thank all of you, our listeners, for spending part of your day with us today. So thank you so much.
Be sure to join us next time on Office Hours for further conversation with the people who work in and study higher education. Special thanks to Kara Baldus Merriman and Daniel Merriman for the use of their composition Writer's Block as the Office Hours theme song. And thank you for listening to Office Hours with SIU System President Dan Mahoney.